Well, joining me now, live on the line, is the former chief of the main Pakistan spy agency, the ISI, Hamid Gul. Hamid Gul, thank you very much for joining us. I suppose first I should ask why the change of heart in that your successor has decided not to go to Mumbai to help investigate.
Come again, please. I couldn't hear you properly.
Why is it that your successor at the ISI hasn't gone to Mumbai to help the investigation there?
Well, it's preposterous. He was summoned for interrogation because they had already pointed the finger of accusation at Pakistan. And this was an affront to the national honor. He could not have gone. I think Pakistan government did well to refuse sending him there.
Sorry, you might have to repeat a bit of that. So you were saying that the present ISI chief wasn't welcome?
No, that's not the question. I mean, they first accused Pakistan and then they summoned him not to cooperate but to interrogate him. So that is not acceptable to us because this is an affront to our sovereignty. If they have any evidence, they should present it to us, as is the norm in the relation between nations. And we would have cooperated. Who never said that Pakistan is not willing to cooperate? Pakistan has in the past cooperated. And many of the things that they said in the past, whether it was 13th December 2001 attack on Lok Sabha, or it was the Samjhota Express, in which it turned out that their initial acquisition of Pakistan was totally wrong. It was an inside job carried out by their uniformed officers. And also this Maligaon latest attack of 31 bombs, series of bombs which exploded and killed a lot of people, and that was also pinned on Pakistan. But that accusation turned out to be wrong too, even by their own investigation. So there was no question of sending our DG intelligence. It's not at all acceptable. Nobody would do that. So why should Pakistan do it?
Very different to what you're saying to how international media have been covering this story. Before I get on to cui bono, who benefits out of all of this, does that mean that, well, what is your view about Condoleezza Rice's comments, which seemed, well, quite hawkish on Pakistan's position?
Well, she can't be, because if there are tensions between the two countries and the forces are massed, as they were done in 2002, when there was attack on the Lok Sabha, then in that case we will have to de-escalate on our Western Front, where we are engaged in fighting our own people. America's war it is; it is not our war. But still, we have been pressed into service for reasons best known to the government. And if we this has created an unconventional. In the deployment of unconventional forces, a certain amount of military imbalance. And in order to address that imbalance, we will definitely have to draw forces from the West and shift them to the East. And that probably is not acceptable to America.
And of course, I suppose you expect that the U.S. attacks on Pakistani territory will continue?
It is. I think the Americans have said that they would continue their attack. That is part of their preemptive doctrine. But there is a great deal of resentment. And as far as we are concerned, it's not the American attacks which are important for us, for our defense. The basic thing is really our troops' engagement against our own tribesmen. And we are fighting them for no rhyme or reason at all. It is only because America is arm-twisting Pakistan into this kind of an engagement. But once there are tensions on the eastern border, then quite obviously, logically, Pakistan armed forces would demand that they relocate their forces to the east.
You, of course, were the former chief of the ISI. And the ISI's name has been all across international media. They've been covering this story. What do you think is the mood at the present leadership of the ISI? And who has benefited most out of these attacks as the tension between Pakistan and India is being ratcheted up, at least in terms of words?
America benefits from it. Israel benefits from it because they have a game plan that India comes on board in war against terrorism and that it supplies them troops. They have already demanded 150,000 troops from India to be located in Afghanistan because NATO forces are ever so reluctant to continue their presence in Afghanistan. And they are losing this war. They need more troops. Americans don't have any foot soldiers available to them. They can barely spare not more than 10,000 troops. So they need troops from India. And that was the reason why they went into a civilian nuclear deal and they went into a strategic compact with India. So they want to use India for a certain specific purpose to advance their own design and their agenda in this region. So I think America would benefit from it in the long run because if there are tensions, then they would have India believe that their war against terrorism is also India's war against terrorism. As they did in case of Pakistan, they created a condition where we get involved in fighting against our own people and then we assume and we believe in our perception that this is our war, it is not America's war. Although nobody is accepting it as such.
Hamid Gul, former chief of the Pakistani Secret Service, the ISI, thank you very much for taking time out to join us.